Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Should the network ever go to BT Sport and we have an issue where we can't watch SmackDown for a while, this podcast won't sound any different.
Come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It's the 31st of August in the year of our Lord 2000. Spiller, featuring Sophie Ellis-Bextor, Groove Jett, in brackets, If This Ain't Love, end brackets, is number one in the UK singles chart.
What a
Why
song.
Does it feel now?
Why does it feel?
Why does it feel so good?
It's a great song. That song's a gift to radio because it never goes anywhere. So if you're running late for the news, you can just jump out at any point and nobody really notices.
Just get caught in a loop. Why does it feel now? Someone jumped near the vinyl. We've been playing this for 20 minutes. Jump near the vinyl, sorry. Brought to you by Tom Campbell, a young and sprightly mid-30s, and Matthew, 300 years old. X-Men is still number one in the UK box office, and my mum's mate to this day still thinks Wolverine is a robot. The WWF Royal Rumble, the arcade game, is released on Dreamcast this week. And that's a one where you can have up to 9 people on screen, which was an unheard of number at the time. My God, 9 people, that's amazing. Sadly, with a roster of 21, that's a lot of repeats.
It's like
UK TV gold with the amount of replays you see here.
Oh, let's take a little moment to remember Royal Rumble on the Dreamcast. Like you say, up to 9 wrestlers at the same time, a roster of 5. And I loved how when you were playing it, they decided that the art of leaving the ring, going up the ramp and entering the backstage area was old hat. So mid-match, you just teleport backstage.
Yeah, it turns out THQ looked and saying, wow, we have the arcade rights to WWF as well as the console rights. So the Sega's Naomi arcade system, they put this thing out. And I have to say, it's a much better arcade game than it is a console game. Because an arcade game, you're not really that bothered if you're playing it for a bit. Ooh, visual display, ooh, stuff. Missing the entrances, makes sense. Teleporting, that's nice. They do that in Dragon Ball Z. But a home console port, I don't think most people knew at the time it was an arcade game in, you know, the 2000. So every review I said, yeah, it's a nice idea, but it loses the allure when it's you and 6 Al Snows in the ring at the same time, and that's a rumble. Like, you got too many stats in one column and not in the other. The other notable thing was, this was Big Show's only video game appearance with the 2000 roster, as he was removed from SmackDown 2 and famously No Mercy due to his demotion to OVW and coincidentally killing Kane's push on SmackDown TV. Because after obviously shoehorning him into a feud with The Undertaker rather than Big Fat Show's rightful involvement. Coincidentally, he returned the following year's Royal Rumble pay-per-view event. Also, Kurt Angle and Taz, who debuted a match against Angle on the 2000 edition, made their first WWF video game debuts. So,
the more you know.
Still not very good. The BBC is to buy the Steven Spielberg-produced World War II drama Band of Brothers, the most expensive TV series made to date. It will air on BBC One in 2001. I watched it years later with a mate of mine who needed to stay up all night because he's recovering from a cocaine addiction.
What? What a lovely casual... Matt, when are you writing your book?
It'll just be Redacted and I hung out and watched Band of Brothers as he was hooked on Redacted and needed something to distract him from the horrors of Redacted addiction. So what better than the horrors of World War II and the guy from Friends?
Amazing.
Yeah. Look, this is what I mean. I am definitely from Bishop Auckland. It's not going to be some expose. Matthew, secretly from Jesmond. It's definitely like, yeah, no one's arguing that. And also, to make this more relatable to Tom, Pocahontas 2, Journey to a New World.
Oh, my God.
And all I've put here is coming soon to a Tom Campbell-related podcast.
I still want to do a podcast where we just watch crap Disney sequels, like straight to VHS sequels. This this one was awful. Like, they kill John Smith within the first 5 minutes, and it's just never mentioned until like half an hour before the end, where he turns up perfectly alive. It's awful. Oh, spoilers, by the way. Oh, shut
up. Oh, no.
Sorry, if you're watching that over Falcon Winter Soldier on Disney Plus, then you're not right in the head. But I've still got that dream to do the Disney sequels podcast, where we just watch all the crap Disney sequels. I feel like it might be something me and Alex end up doing during lockdown 9.
Oh, poor woman. It's not bad enough having to watch 18 hours a day of wrestling, and now it's, you know, let's watch or listen to Jim Cummings as King James, King of England, while well-meaning, he is portrayed as a simple-minded buffoon who is very easily manipulated by Ratcliffe. Can I tell you which school I went to in Bishop Auckland, Tom? King James the First.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not going to argue, they're pretty accurate with the people who turn up there, but so... That is on the list of things we're going to do, or Tom's going to do eventually, and I'll just talk about how I had Return of Jafar on VHS as a kid, and I thought it was the best thing ever. Now watch it now and go, oh, God. Gilbert Gottfried is the main star. But that was all the wacky, wacky things happening in the wacky world of wacky reality at that time in the Overlord 2000. Who cares about Pocahontas 2 or World of War 2. Pocahontas 2 and World War 2. The famous sequels at the time. Bloody hell. When all we really care about is what's going on in the wonderful world of wrestling. And the only way to find out what was happening during those weird times is by listening to the dulcet tones of myself, Matthew Gregg, and his lovely, amazing, spectacular, bombastic, stupendous... I've run out of... terms for him, Mr. Tom Campbell, who else, to listen to the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown podcast. How are you, my staggering friend?
I'm all right, thank you. I don't know why I'm inhaling while talking. I tell you what, I feel old today. Well, on day of recording, we're recording this on the 6th of April, the year of our Lord, 2021, ahead of Hall of Fame tonight. None of the WrestleMania stuff has happened yet. By the time you hear this, you've had TakeOver. Wasn't it good? I liked it when they did that big spot and everybody went, holy poop. I'm sat... Currently, I'm feeling very old for two reasons. One, because at the time of our recording, the night before the time of our recording, the predictions went up for TakeOver, in which I thought, hey, the show's called Stand and Deliver. I'm going to get an Adam Ant outfit.
I know what's going to happen.
I'm going to dress as Adam Ant for TakeOver Stand and Deliver because he did a song called Adam Ant. So that happened, to which I've had lots of messages from multiple people about how good my pirate outfit is, including, and I'm going to name and or shame him, Aidan Gibbons, our news hound.
Oh no! Don't talk about that. No, no, I don't want to be involved in this. He's a
Aidan,
good man.
Now listen, Aidan Gibbons. Genuinely, I want the biggest thing I miss about working in the office is sitting across from Aidan, because we have some good laughs, me and Aidan, and we have McDonald's Mondays. We take it in turns to buy McDonald's. I tell a lie. He buys them on the way in. I may remember to pay him back by the end of the week, but I enjoy his company, but he sent me this message. After I had a couple of messages about people going, great pirate outfit, Tom, Aidan messaged me saying, hiya, mate, hope you're well. I'm doing the write-up for the takeover preview. Odd question, is your pirate outfit on the predictions based off something? To which I just dropped into our chat the stand and deliver video from Adam and the Ants. To which he very much apologised. But I've had a few people go, hey, swashbuckling Tom's my favourite. I'm not a pirate! I'm Adam Ant! From Stand and Deliver! That's the joke!
Oh, I get it. A pirate, ship.
I say Stand and Deliver at the start of the video! I sing the Dandy Highwayman song.
That's Livid. A pirate song.
Livid.
Time for graded.
Anyway, this made me so angry.
Stand and Deliver. Wait, what? You're not a highwayman, you're a pirate. I lost me boat.
Anyway, this made me so angry that I think I've pulled my back out. And I'm currently sat talking to you, Matthew. I'm sat propped up in my chair with the microphone close to me, like closer than normally would be. And Alex has got a wheat bag that I have borrowed from under her side of the bed that is propped up in the part of the back which feels like I'm... It's spazzing out, and this is where we are today. And my plan after you and I finish talking is to go and lie very still for a couple of hours in a hot bath. And I have never felt every minute of my 37 years like I have today.
So you're getting physical then, huh?
Oh, barely physical. But that's me anyway. Otherwise, you know what? Fine form. We can't complain. We do like to complain. But we can't complain.
I be Captain Darling.
I be the Dandy Highwayman.
I need money for a new boat. Stu Hart, what are you doing here?
I was going to say it's
Stu Hart, what are you doing here?
I've come to stretch you keen.
Stretches? Okay.
Just be Pirate Heart. Me 36th kid.
No, Kane, I need you.
So I can start the podcast, yeah, probably.
I need you to pop to the shop and get me a very special tin of broth for our tea later. It's called Heart's Stew.
Oh, fuck. Peaking early.
Ding dong,
I'm back and I've brought him with me.
I'm gonna stretch you.
No, Kane, you stupid bastard. No,
I got it wrong again.
It'd be okay. I brought you a gift. It's Bruce Hart. Bruce Hart's a gift. Yeah, you can keep him. Bye.
He's the gift that keeps on giving. Anyway, how are you, mate? What's up?
After all that, how are you? I'm doing good, mate. It's done 4 days solid covering the Easter bank holiday Monday for the place because it is supposed to be part-time work and it is technically, but proper work this weekend because it's bank holiday because we're doing out of hours. Mm-hmm. So those are all out of hours on account of everyone else taking that time off because it's Easter. So... it was some proper calls, some proper business to do, and then many times ringing up people going, I've got a problem with this money, or the tax hasn't been... Mate, call on Tuesday.
And, you're literally in the office to tell people to call on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you to not ring. Fantastic. It's good money if you can get it. So while you were dressing up as a pirate, I was doing real work. Tell people, no, ring back Tuesday. You know, in the real world. And as a result, I was very tired this morning. And I slept through my alarm, so I've got some messages from Specsavers going, you little bastard, you're supposed to be in here to get your eyes checked. I know, but I couldn't see my phone and didn't appreciate that.
I'd have gone, oh, do you mean I've been sat in here for half an hour? Oh, sorry, it's just I realise it's the butcher's next door. I'll be here long shortly. Got some nice tripe from the opticians.
Oh, no wonder I can't see very well. So that's how I'm doing. I'm in a good mood, good spirits. It's just, yeah, Everything is positive right now. The body's a bit tired, but that's good because I've been doing stuff.
I don't. How about yourself, at the risk of, and I don't, and I'm, and I feel like I want to say this because I don't want to say this in a negative way, because I feel like you and I have a really lovely opportunity to celebrate the life of rather than the passing of. Myself and Justin talked about this last Monday on, it was last Tuesday on the Cultaholic Classic Raw review. It was news that came down the wires last week. And we wanted to take a moment to acknowledge it, that somebody that Matthew, Greg and I hold in very high regard within the podcasting world, we lost just the other week in Blade Braxton, one half of WrestleCrap Radio with R.D. Reynolds. I know that I've talked on the news podcast and with Justin Henry about some of my memories of Blade Braxton. And I know Matthew Gregg has given us a little indication to some of his memories. You may have heard on the podcast with Ross and Jack this week. But this is a big loss to the industry, isn't it, man? Are you good to talk about it?
I certainly am, mate. I don't want to talk over your lovely introduction because you're better at that than myself. But yeah, as I mentioned on the podcast, by the way, for people watching my streams, I'm fine now. It was just the shock of seeing it on stream that made me go, okay, this stream is over. I am not... The funny train has left the station, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great week till next time I show up. It was nice getting some DMs from people, by the way. I know there's a lot of crossover between people who watch my streams on Cultaholic and listeners' podcast. So thank you very much. I very, very, very much appreciate that. But regards to Blade Braxton, I said in the podcast, I'll say it again, I wouldn't be here doing this silly podcast with yourself. I wouldn't be doing anything with Cultaholic. I wouldn't be doing Botchamania if it wasn't for finding out about a little website named WrestleCrap years and years and years ago during ICT lessons at school. So with the fantastic speeds of dial-up, we're supposed to be, you know, it's very hard to try and look at a secret website when the teacher's not looking, when you got a dial-up and no ability to have different tabs open. So, oof, the good old days. So I found WrestleCrap by searching for old wrestling gimmicks, and there it was, and just got hooked on it. Love the idea that they were talking about the crap bits of wrestling. Love that they were very informative. Love that there were VHS screenshots in 2001, which I can't even begin to think of the process you'd need to do that. Very complicated and stuff, because this is before USB for everything.
And
that,
you know what, as well, not just screenshots, but
audio
these,
as well.
They used GIFs.
GIFs, yes.
GIFs nowadays are just shorthand for people online. But, like, they were pioneers of something as simple as an animated picture.
Right. There's still GIFs that they made, and I saw on a website called X Entertainment that I still see around. There's one of Hogan in, I forget his name in the film, in No Holds Barred, where he's doing a thumbs up. It's a very low quality GIF. I still see that pop up on Twitter. Mm. And I'm like, I remember that GIF when I was a kid. It's weird now, again, it's very off topic, I guess, but it's very fascinating to see how little things like that can just stick around. One, because there's not a lot of desire to make GIFs of No Holds Barred, apart from maybe the Dookie scene. So, R.D. Reynolds is the godfather of WrestleCrap, obviously, but Blade Braxton is obviously his capo. No, that's not right, Matthew. Sorry, I'm getting my terms mixed up. He's the right-hand man, whatever. You know, I was almost going someplace with that. You know what? He's the Brando. Blade Braxton was the Pacino. There we go. Much better. So, yeah.
Amazing.
It's gutting to see him pass. But at the same time, now that I'm over the shock of it, I'm like yourself, Thomas. You said beautifully there. I am much more of the mindset that I want to celebrate the things he did rather than mourn his passing. Because we all pass, sadly. Not all of us get to make an impression as wide and as lovely as the one that Blade made. So thank you, Blade, as well as RD, because it's hard not imagining the two of you together, for the decade, Jesus, of humour and inspiration from WrestleCrap. From the never-ending podcasts, see a pattern there, the text write-ups, the reenactments, getting to meet you several times. And I messaged Comrade Thompson to say, look, thank you for having me for StarCast, mate, for the first two, because I was able to meet him in Chicago. And it was a bit like, oh my God, it's Blade Braxton. What do? I don't want to think I'm stupid. And then we start talking crap. And then in Vegas, we really had a big sit down, me, RD, and some people, Russell Crabbe. Everybody but Justin Henry, we realised, as we ate some all right pizza, drank some absolutely disgusting beer, and just talked crap about Vegas and stuff. And it just kept on. You know when you meet someone, Tom? I think I have this with you a lot. One topic will come up. And then you go, yeah, that's great, that's great, that's great. And then they'll say a different topic, and you'll go, yeah, yeah, I know that too. And then you just keep on going back and forth and back and forth, like Wimbledon exchanges. And we had that, me and him. And RD, when I sent him some messages saying, look, I know it's some, you know, almost trite sending you messages on Facebook and stuff, seeing how you're doing and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm just going to say, I hope you're doing all right and whatever. And he said, yeah. And he said, you know, Blade really liked those meetings he had with you. That meant a lot to him. Wow. And I thought it did, because he loved sharing photos of it. Like, even, you know, it's like Facebook comes up the anniversary of this event. You're like, all right, that's the time to share. He would share those photos like every few months of me and him in our best attire, him with his trauma shirt and me with the Ultimate Warrior, get press slamming Rick Rude shirt that I wear because it's funny. That was gifted to Cultaholic. You know, and us drinking beer and stuff like that. He was really, really happy with that. And yeah, so it was a pleasure to meet someone. He was such an inspiration for myself, and it's put me where I am today, inadvertently. It's not like he said, ah, Matthew, my son, like Kevin Sullivan. But he definitely, yeah, I got the chance to tell him as well. And I try and be as grateful as possible for people. I try and look at people and go, thank you for who you are to me. Because sadly, at the ripe old age of 33, there's a lot of people I know who have passed away. I stopped counting because I got a bit miserable. But so nowadays, if I go up to people and or message them online or whatever, and I'm feeling nostalgic or whatever, happy memories, and I tell them, look, I'm happy I know you. Just want to say that in case anything happens. Most take it well. I'm sure, though, it's a bit of like, all right, are you okay, Matthew? It's like, no, I'm fine, but I am at the point now where I have to be accepting of the fact, like, this could be it. This may be the last podcast me and you do, because even though I don't want it to be.
My back is pretty bad.
I know, it's between that and watching Pocahontas 2, so Tom, like, oh, you know what, Matthew, I'll quit. Everybody who has passed away has had plans. Very few people, maybe people on death row, perhaps, that people go, right, today I'll die. So it's everybody else is like, well, I'll see you next week, and that never happens. So I'm forever grateful for people who have had an impact, and I want to hopefully show to people that I'm appreciative of them, and I appreciate their friendship, their help they've given me over the years. And I'll segue this in the end of this long speech and saying, of course, Tom, I think I've told you 10,000 times, and I know you know, but just to appease me, Tom, you are somebody who currently inspires me, who keeps me canon, not just for the podcast we do at Cultaholic, but for the videos we stuff, but for the mentality you have in life. Uh-oh, that didn't work. Oh, well, sod it. The next one will be better. Time to move on. You know, yeah, that attitude of, well, it snowed in, but I put on my tennis rackets on my shoes and plough through. You know, that is a mentality I sometimes forget. You in professional life and social life, I'm forever grateful for knowing you. Love you lots, Tom.
Bless you, mate. I'm incredibly grateful too. You rang me one night and did just that.
I think I did. I can't remember what.
You messaged me because you messaged me and you said, "Are you free?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, sure." And normally, if people like say, "Oh, free for a call," I'm like, "Oh gosh, everything all right?" Alex was sat next to me, and you rang, and it was just to say, "I just want to say thank you for recording today, and I appreciate you." And we chatted for a bit, made a nice laugh, and then we hung up. And Alex said, "Did he just ring just to say thank you and he appreciates you?" And I said, "Yeah, he did," and it actually surprised her because she's like, oh, is he okay? I was like, no, he's fine. It's actually a lovely thing that we should all do more of.
Right.
You know, it's something we should do more of. And it says something that when we're so hardened to only getting bad news and only reporting when things are bad, that there is this little shock to the system when something good happens. I noticed it last week. She won't mind me telling because she doesn't listen. Alex finished up her three-month work on the radio. She had a three-month contract that finished. And it was the last show that she was doing on afternoons with the presenter, with her presenter, Tamsin Robson. And I went in to meet them because I was on after. By sheer luck, I was booked to do the show after them. So I was going in anyway. So on the way in, I picked up some flowers and a bottle of Prosecco for Alex. And I thought, well, I'll get one for Tamsin as well. I'll get some flowers and a bottle of, and I'm in like a little gift bag. And I brought them in Alex, and I give Alex flowers relatively often, but she's always receptive of them. But she's like, oh, thank you. You didn't have to do that. I said, I did. Shut up. Of course I did. You did great. Well done. Great 3 months. And then the presenter came out and I handed her this gift thing. And she looked like, what's this for? Like, really quite like, eh? I said, this is for you. Why? Just because you're finishing today and you've done a great job. And she was so taken aback. Because it doesn't, like, very... There's so much in most industries where we only reach out to people when something's wrong. And I don't think we do it enough when something's right. We really don't. And we should more often. I think that they'll... And it's easy just to only see when negative stuff comes in. I'm guilty of that. As lovely the things you've said about me are, I am really guilty of some days just seeing the negative stuff and getting swamped in it. But I always, if I don't achieve it, I always strive to achieve it. The idea of I'm going to focus on good stuff. I'm going to reach out to people with good things. I'm not always, you know, I don't want to just be somebody that always gives bad news. If something's good, I just want to reach out and someone say, I want you to know, I thought that was really good, you know? Hmm. And that sort of thing. And this is, hey, we haven't even started SmackDown yet. I think that that's something, and it sucks that it takes a death for us to be reminded of that. It sucks that it takes a death to be reminded that, hey, we should tell people more how much they mean to us, you know? But it always is. It's always in the wake of a death where suddenly that part of your brain goes, I should call home. I should call them. I should message him.
These gentle reminders.
But we shouldn't need them. But...
You know what? Yeah, you are right, and I echo those words. And it's actually you saying that. I'm like, yes, I did ring you. Why was that? And I'm trying to think, who passed away then? I'm searching my brain, and you know what? I almost don't remember who it was who's
passed
away.
Anyone did. I think you just did it, which I think was really nice.
Well, maybe it was just in a negative mood. I just needed to go. You know what?
Maybe.
Not a negative mood. Sorry, that's the wrong word. I mean, just in a reflective mood, I should say. Because you're right. You can't look at everything like that. There's things you have to look at of life problems. Best be. There's a bunch of stuff you have to look at. Today's problems, and then there's this week's problems and stuff. And so I think we got focused on today's problems, get the sword out, that we don't always get the chance to go, you know what? I think I'll ring Tom and say how much he means to me as a person. So
amazing, amazing. Well, look, let's take that. Let's take some good stuff from that, and let's watch.
Yeah,
some
hopefully
old
people can learn from
down.
That. Yeah, as we look at the wonderful world of wrestling during this time. Tom, I don't know. I've got so caught up in all that. Bloody horrible emotions and stuff. I forget what time is it? What year is it? Oh, I need some context for my wrestling. I tell you, I'm all over the place.
Well, look, let's bring you straight back down to earth with a little bit of ASMR. Hey, have a listen to this. That's me readjusting my wheat bag for my bad back because it fell out of position. So that's me adjusted. Lovely. Let's talk about the wrestling. So it is indeed the year of our Lord 2000. We are coming out of the summer, out of a hot, hot summer for the WWF and for wrestling in general, maybe, but certainly the WWF. ECW are doing really well at the moment. There's lots of conversations this week in the wrestling, this bloody week in the wrestling, all about ECW looking to get that deal with the USA Network. At this point, it looks like a thing that's going to happen, that as soon as the WWF comes off the USA Network, we're going to see ECW step into that role. We will keep you up to date with what happens there. SummerSlam. Reflecting on SummerSlam is the point of the day in the Observer this week. Can confirm from Dave Meltzer that Kurt Angle is okay. Dave says Angle was taken to the hospital after SummerSlam. This is following that scary concussion that he suffered during the main event of SummerSlam. Angle was taken to the hospital. and held overnight for observation. The CAT scan came up negative in checking for a concussion from the information that we were given. But on television, they pushed the idea that he was suffering from a concussion and memory loss. Backstage after the match, before going to the hospital, Angle couldn't remember anything that took place in the match after his head hit the floor when the table broke, causing him to land wrong. So he certainly had a very close shave there. A very close shave, but it looks like he's all right. SummerSlam box office, slow start, but Slow and Steady won the race. They sold out Raleigh, North Carolina Entertainment Sports Complex, 17,002 in the building, over $1,150,000 taken at the gate, and an extra $200,000 in merch. Seventh highest live gate in the history of American pro wrestling. The first $1 million gate for an event that isn't called WrestleMania. And on a similar note, talking of successes, do you remember when we watched SummerSlam, Matthew, what feels like a lifetime ago? Mm-hmm. And we laughed at that really odd ad placement for Vinny's restaurant in Raleigh.
Oh, I was going to say, hopefully you bring this up. Yes, Tom, I do. What about it?
It's actually, it was named because it's named after Vince McMahon. True story. Vince was involved in the original financing of Vinny's restaurant in Raleigh. It turns out family friends setting up a restaurant. Vince helped them out financially. They called it Vinny's. There you go.
So give him a shout out on a pay-per-view that did with $1 million box. Wow.
That
bloody hell, do you know what it's doing today? Is it Shaney's?
Do you know what? I actually didn't even look up whether Vinny's in Raleigh is still a thing. Do you know
of
what?
Of course not.
It is still a thing. It is still a thing. Vinny's Steakhouse and Tavern, as it's now do. Steaks, seafood, wine and spirits in a high-end setting with display wine cellar and a heated patio. It's currently closed. Otherwise, I'd call them. But maybe one day we'll call them.
We should do
more stuff like that where we just call
them
in.
We should. I mean, we can't do that with WF New York or Pasta Mania, but we can surely do that with Vinny's McMahon Outdoor Tavern and Grill.
And Bar and Growl.
And just to show how professional I am during these things, you did say, apparently they took over $1 million in the box office. And I went, they took? Who did it? Was it a dandy highwayman? And that did not happen.
No, it was not a pirate, happen. Mate.
Give me money.
Which apparently I was. Or the lead singer from My Chemical Romance who'd let himself go. Let's look to the wrestling future in the form of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Who?
Exactly. Steve Austin's return. According to Dave in The Observer, at this point, the working plan is to heavily push for the next couple of weeks the return of Steve Austin to television for the 25th of September, coinciding with the first Raw on TNN. Now, this could change, but it's a strong idea. He may be involved in some form, although not as a wrestler, on the 29th of September pay-per-view, as he's healthy enough to stomp, hit some ropes, and most of all, do the stunner. WWF has set up a ring at Austin's house, and they will be flying wrestlers to San Antonio to work with him regarding getting back into ring shape. He started that training over the past couple of days, and they are targeting the October pay-per-view No Mercy as his match return, although there is a possibility it'll be held off until Survivor Series. So Austin is getting back in shape here, Maff.
That's nice. I like the idea of people going to his place and going, all right, hey, Steve, want to wrestle? He's like, that's fantastic. I'm glad to get into shape before these people come around here. There goes the door. Who's the latest person that's been sent to train me? It be me, Stu Hart. Anyway, for God's sake, you can't show up in every bloody segment. And Steve Austin shuts the door on him.
But you said you wanted some hot stew.
No, that's the wrong bit. Go
God
away.
God damn it, Kane.
Steve Austin's now the general, the army guy from Monty Python. This sketch is getting very silly.
Stop it! This sketch is getting very silly. No one likes a good laugh more than I do, except my wife. What? Some of her friends. What? Captain Johnson. What?
The deer behind me at that interview.
What? The Minister of Silly Walks. What?
Austin the General. John! Thanks, John.
Ugh.
Love you, John. Not much else to talk about in the wrestling news this week. I will mention this from the UK, that you know what? It's a big idea when you consider that it's a big thing when you consider that Dave's talking about this in The Observer, which is primarily based off of America. Soccer knocked the Raw off the top of the Sky Sports ratings in the UK. For the week of the 20th of August, the season opener drew 900,000 viewers, which beat Raw at 390. SmackDown had 260. Heat, which is broadcast as opposed to cable on Channel 4, had 1,180,000 viewers. Heat is outdrawing Raw. Just because it's on Channel 4.
Of course it is, and it's not bloody live like Raw is. Those are the Raw tapings at 1 a.m, right? That's what Meltzer has left all the context. I'm sorry, I'm Bruce Pritchard now, but Meltzer's left all the context there, and it seems he seems aghast at the idea that soccer would outdraw Raw in a country like, oh, I don't know, England. Bloody idiot. He still insists. He said one time that George Best's indoor football career was better than his like normal career. He said that because he used to report on George Best's American indoor... I don't know, everyone's really interested in that part of George Best's career. But yeah, he said that. He said that. And he also bloody said that the one of the times he went to England, he walked past, I don't know, Poundland or whatever. Well, I think it was part of the UK it was in. This is something that he still hasn't let down. And they had, again, Poundland, not Woolies. Not Debenhams or anywhere like that. Yeah, fucking Poundland. And there were lots of Joey from Friends merchandise because that's where they tend to sell stuff that's been on sale everywhere else and isn't quite selling. Or maybe people will buy it for a quid. And he walked past there and he wrote down in The Observer, wow, well, Friends hasn't been on the air for some time, but apparently it's still big in the UK. So that's probably why they still like Big Daddy and things. It was like, what the hell are you talking about? You walked past the Poundland.
Poundland sell any old shite.
Exactly. But he wrote down in The Observer, so they're going, wait, do you think we're still like Joey?
So I went to what they call a pound land in the UK.
To pound land. A land of pounds.
It's weird to name a shop after weight. I noticed that everyone in the UK loves Friends and eats Finder's crispy pancakes.
Oh, now we are talking.
It is
and
like
free Bentos pies.
I remember now Free Bentos. He was amateur wrestler. Justin, where are you? I miss you.
The main attractions in English wrestling, soccer. Yeah, who thought of Joey and Free Bentos, the Bentos wrestling legacy.
I mean, mate, we laugh.
I'm afraid Bundos now.
We laugh, but it's not completely wrong. Friends is one of the highest rated series on Netflix in the UK, and we do love a Frey Bentos.
Oh, God, you're right, actually. Thinking about it, he was dead on. But the fact that he didn't go, again, judge an entire country on the cheapest place and then going and bloody reporting about it to sort of people who take his word as gold is like, come on.
There's a lot of love.
It doesn't matter
for,
that he's right.
A lot of love for Greg Valentine. A lot of love for Greg Valentine in the UK. He owns a chain of bakeries.
Oh.
John, do Greg outside of Greg's.
Oh, no,
thank
John,
you.
John, withhold yourself.
Tag The Undertaker in it. With no context. Go and just put, what do you think of that, mate? My new thing at the moment, I don't know why I'm so obsessed with it, is to get John to do stuff like Photoshop for The Undertaker and then just tag The Undertaker in it with no context.
Bloody
hell. Is The Undertaker go, what the hell? What's wrong with this boy? Like, and there's Michelle in the room going, Undertaker, what is she gonna give Undertaker? Undertaker, sweetie. What are you doing? That mad bastard John Eilish photoshopped me again. Why is Michelle calling him Undertaker?
Mr. The Undertaker.
Undertaker, sweetie. Ah.
I've got a table booked for Undertaker.
Is that The Undertaker? Yes, The is my first name.
Could be Undertaker. Could be under American Badass.
Yeah, there's Kane the Undertaker. No, that's my old man. Oh, okay, sorry. Man. Let me have a look. That's Undertaker's here in Death Valley.
That's my wrestling news this week. Nothing else massively exciting happened, so let's crack on.
There was some wrestling there, wasn't there, Tom?
There was some wrestling.
If you look hard enough.
Let's crack on with SmackDown before we get another hour into the podcast.
Yes. Also, a quick thing. I believe we said it on the SummerSlam watch along, or if not, was one of the previous episode of SmackDown. We got confirmation on Twitter about that Val Venus taunt that was in No Mercy.
Ooh,
where
yes, we
it
did.
Looks like he put his hand in between his legs and is like, look at my hand. My hand is a cock. And I'm like, what the hell is this about? Is this an old Japanese wrestling thing? I don't remember Val Venus doing this. Someone found a gif of him doing it, and it's not quite between the legs, but it is sort of like he's stiffening up his hand because, you know, he's Val Venus. Use your imagination. And, found the exact moment he used it on Raw. And they put
and
that
in the
game.
And it was set to be... thing is, they used it as a taunt, but what it looked like it was going to be was like a third punch in a punch combo. You know how The Rock goes
like
punch,
Road Dogg.
Punch. Yeah, like yeah. Road Dogg does the shake, rattle, and right hand. Rock does punch, 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 spit on hand, punch. Looked like Val was going to do punch, 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 whack your lad out, punch. Yeah.
Where did it all go wrong for Val, huh? Let's find out by watching this week's Raw. This week's SmackDown. Oh, sorry, I'm back in the other podcast mode. In dramatic recap mode, Triple H is waiting for Stephanie. He hasn't seen her in 24 hours. Oh, it must be that damned Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle says he sustained a concussion at SummerSlam. See, Meltzer was right. So he doesn't recall everything. But he does recall Triple H striking Stephanie, and Angle returning from the concussion to help Steph out of the match because Triple H is a lousy champ and an even lousier husband. Ooh. This brings out Triple H to the ring. Angle explains that he probably finally knocked some sense into Stephanie and she realised how bad a guy he is. Triple H doesn't take it well and sends him out the ring and finds time to tear his shirt off. And then a segment which made my jaw drop, China goes to see Triple H to see if he's okay. Mm. And this is the Triple H who admitted he was seeing Stephanie when he was supposed to be seeing China in real life, just saying. She tells Triple H to give his wife a chance. Eddie doesn't like China talking to Triple H, and who can blame him? Kurt gives Eddie some friendly advice and go wrestle for her. So Triple H versus Eddie happens on Raw, and Kurt Angle chair shots China, and then Eddie to remind everyone he's the bad guy. And that was the recap. Witty wee, witty woo. Oh my god, we're in UPN. Huh. We don't get a location, fair enough. But we do get a Stephanie who walks to the ring. Crowd slut shames her to start off the show.
We are in North Carolina, I know that.
I was going to say, yeah, we will get to that later on. Yeah. She doesn't appreciate all the rumours about where she was after SummerSlam. And she'll explain, slut, 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 that she was in the hospital because her brother was in so much pain from landing off that big old safety mat with Steve. Slut. No, really, it's true. It's true, she says, then looks awkward and moves on. A funny bit, that's the entire crowd making that noise that Tom Campbell just made. Her and Triple H are just fine. Kurt Angle heads to the ring. Here we go. Get ready for the Kurt Angle show here. I admire you, Stephanie, in the same way people admire me for my medals. Kurt Angle shows the footage of Triple H striking Stephanie from SummerSlam. And it's in slow motion. So Kurt says, see, he had plenty of time to move his strike. That is a man enraged, a man in anger, laments Angle. Stephanie isn't having it. It was a clear accident as he was aiming for Kurt. So Angle shows Triple H in China backstage, hugging. That is a disgrace, laments Angle. That is a married man, your man. That hits Stephanie in the heart. She can't believe it. China heads out for what I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is the first, maybe only, Stephanie-China interaction on TV. The PTC probably don't appreciate her nipples, who are also in attendance for the segment. The IC champion denies everything. Kurt says he hit Triple H on Raw, and then followed up by hitting Eddie, only because He was still blurry from his concussion and had double vision and assumed Triple H had risen up. Kurt says, I would never hurt my Latino friend. Kurt then shows footage of China checking on Triple H on Raw after getting twatted. Stephanie fully believes in Kurt now, so China has enough and heads to the ring. Whoa, China, I don't hit women. I'm not Triple H. Unless it's in self-defense, then I will. But that's the only reason, so don't make me kick your butt, says Angle. Stephanie gets in the way as China heads towards her, and it looks like it's on. But Kurt sneaks in and gives her an Olympic slam to bring out Eddie for a beat down and a quick escape. An absolute one-man show from Kurt Angle.
Aww.
I loved all this. He's the dumbest puppet master I've ever seen, and I loved it.
But you know what? What's even dumber is everybody else going, oh my God, yes. Like Stephanie, who just buys it for a part to a point. She doesn't buy the punch thing because she goes, well, you played that clip in slow motion.
That's great. Look, Steph, he's got loads of time. Look, you can clip. No, it's in slow motion. Oh,
but okay, yeah, but then he crops the video of China checking on Triple H. It's like, and that's all the evidence she needs. China, yeah, absolutely. Angle here, stunning. China, if that's your real name.
Oh.
Just a wonderful shit stirrer. Just a wonderful shit stirrer. And in amongst all of this shithousery from a brilliant Kurt Angle, right? Big pop for Guerrero. Nice to see Eddie in the mix there. Like, we'll end up seeing Eddie Guerrero in the main event tonight. And I loved it. I like seeing Eddie Guerrero involved with everything there.
Likewise. So again, just Kurt, just masterful here in the segment where he's just playing Kurt Angle, I guess. You didn't know? Your bleep. No, I've missed out a bit. Backstage, Triple H walks right into Triple H's room where he sees Kurt and Steph together. He goes for him, but Steph forces Triple H to explain China. It was a friendly hug, yells Triple H. We were on a break, says Dave Meltzer, lamenting the fact that Joey from Friends is as big as Prince Charles is today. Nearly taking out a cameraman and then leaving to calm down. Man, that's tragic. So disgusting and disappointing.
Yeah, the cameraman took a right fall here, didn't he?
He did. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put the cameraman back together again. So it's really sad to get this segment where Triple H and Steph look like they're going to split up and it's all horrible. The cameraman's taking a bump. It's really sad and tragic. Do, 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 do. Oh, you didn't know. Do, 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 do. You're now censored because of PTC, but not because of PTC, you understand? I'd better call somebody. Dog reveals for the first time, we are in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Dog says, this is America, ain't it? Oh, were. Dog wants his freedom. Who do you think you are, Stephen Richards of the PTC? I mean, RTC. Come down here and we'll see how we worship in the house of the dog. You know, he didn't go over and serve in Desert Storm to come here and have some Snowflake tell him that he can't have tables and tits and blood and swearing on a show advertised for kids. Crowd, yeah! And by the way, as we're waiting for PTC to... the RTC, they're completely different. Show up. It wasn't just the opening segment. The hard cam this week is the opposite side. So wrestlers are heading via the right of the screen. So, weird change. Not sure about that. Anyway, Bull Buchanan of the... Don't call him the PTC. Says, you need to think about your children. Open their lives and notice how my opponent promotes vulgarity and filth. Crowd cheers. I don't want my babies watching this disgrace. Bull was underrated on the mic during this role,
I forgot he was Southern.
Yeah, right. He said that little during his career.
Mm.
You know, he's from... Of course he's Southern. He's from South Africa.
Oh, yes, because he was in the Truth Commission. God.
From South America, Africa. Anyway, whatever match with... it is a whatever match with Bull getting his vaulting top rope clothesline stuff, which the crowd doesn't react to, I guess because he's a bad guy. But a very nice finish here. Sees Bull going for the scissors kick and Road Dogg reversing it into the Stretch Armstrong pump handle slam for the win.
That was great.
Yeah. Lovely finish, which the crowd goes, oh, that was a nice thing. And Dogg runs out via the crowd to avoid the RTC's revenge. And I guess we've done the split with Road Dogg and X-Pac, but X-Pac's just a natural heel. But I thought I remembered Road Dogg turning on Pac.
No. Pac turned on Dogg.
Oh, right. I was trying to remember what happened with that
match. Pac gave Dogg a low blow to win, and then that's when Road Dogg went, "Hey, you cheated. Oh, I'm going to hit you with a doggy style pump handle, and now I'm a good guy."
Oh, I see, yes.
I like how Brian James, get well soon, Brian, who has been very much proud American, I choose what I should watch. He's probably part of the team that's helping to edit for Peacock now. There's something really special now about watching the right to censor stuff with everything going on in 2021 with WWE being censored relatively heavily. And I say relatively heavily because somebody put out some clips this week of their Peacock screen, so obviously we can't see it because we're in the UK. But they actually mentioned Chris Benoit on Peacock.
Oh, I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, they never acknowledged Benoit on the network, but on Peacock, his name is there, you can search him. Maybe our fears that Benoit would be removed from history on the network were grossly exaggerated.
Yeah. It's like that scene from Community. I can tolerate Benoit, but I draw the line at blackface because someone goes, "You can tolerate Benoit?" But anyway, yes, I think it was Wiretap or Soundwave, one of those really hilarious people on Twitter, said something like, "At this rate, Benoit will be appearing in Space Jam 2.
I saw that. Everybody else is in that.
I was going to say, it's like, hey, we are all right with Clockwork Orange, but we draw the line at Pepe Le Pew. Picture Stanley Kubrick. You're all right with Clockwork Orange? Anyway, China and Eddie Guerrero go see Sheriff Foley. Okay. He makes it a triple threat match between Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero, and Triple H because they both want a bit of Kurt. Mm-hmm. And that decision is final. Right here in North Carolina. Yeah. Yeah. Burn of the Week by Stacker 2. It's Edge and Christian doing the dwarfs dressed as their opponents bit on Raw when that was relatively fresh. Ugh.
It would not go on to be fresh because I seem to recall in the simulator game Extreme Warfare Revenge, when you wanted to book a segment as opposed to a match, what are the segments that you could book if you had a certain combination of writers and you had a certain level of censorship or lack thereof on your show, you could book as a segment, quote, midget impersonation and brawl.
Yeah.
That became such a trope in this era that it was part of a video game.
Yep. That was Burn of the Week by... Burn Week by 2 of Stacker. Edge and Christian and Jackie are here for some reason. They do the same hype puns, which both the Hardys and Adam Cole do not really appreciate. And the Hardy Boys show up with Lita. Oh, that's why that Jackie's there. I see. It's a six-person tag. And they remind the crowd, this is their home state. Crowd, oh, we didn't know that. Yay, Hardys! Yay! Now we're going to cheer for you.
Now we remember you. Now you've said where I live.
Yeah.
Hello, Arizona. Anyway.
Yes. So, where are we at? We get lovely action with the pop for Lita being the most lovely. And then Jackie tries a sidewalk slam and ends up dropping her on her head in an unlovely spot.
Have you seen WWE Untold, the Mick Foley Edge WrestleMania match?
No, I've seen a bunch of those Untold. I've seen the one with Edge and Cena, which is fantastic, by the way, because they laugh at how bad John Senior is at promos. Now they had to edit. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Why are you talking about this for?
Lita talks in WWE Untold about how she's perfected the art of ragdolling. And it never more beautifully explained the way that she sold stuff. like how she basically just gets into the move and then just goes limp, like her physics are all wonky. And this throughout this match, I just had a couple of moments where I was like, Jesus, she's going to break her neck. But she just has excellent crumple physics. And which is how, like, it always looks like she's just died of a really basic move. But really, she's fine.
I hope so, because after this, she then lands on her own face during a flapjack. So, I've written here. More action occurs until Jackie gives Jeff a dropkick off the top rope to the back of his head. Bloody hell. She's so brutal, they should call her New Jackie. Oof, I wrote that. God. Lita delivers a smooth jumping hurricanrana to Edge to set up the Swanton and a very hot win, and then they hang out with their dad at ringside.
Aww.
Hey, any other thoughts here, Tom?
I thought a good six-man. Good six-person match. Jacqueline's missile dropkick to Jeff was incredible. I thought that was a really solid dropkick that Jeff had no idea what was coming. Just clattered the back of his head. Jacqueline's very good. I don't remember her turning heel. I thought she was a face last time I saw her. I guess that she's one of those people where the women's division is quite thin, she'll just sort of slot into whatever role she's needed.
Yes, I'd say that.
I think.
She's a supporting actor.
Yeah.
And she supported quite well. And that's all good said here. Needs someone for them to tag with. There's no evil Canadian women here yet. Well, there's Trish, but oh yeah, I think we've already done that to death with TNA. And more on that later on, don't worry. Stephanie bumps into Angle backstage and clarifies the kiss was just a kiss a friend would give another friend. Stephanie.
I've never kissed you like that more than once.
Yes. Just a few times. Saturn versus Al Snow for the European title again. Oh, and I'll put in here, oh God, not again. Al brings out the worst in Saturn. Well, I think it was a bit pessimistic there at the start.
You
of this match
certainly were, my Saturn friend.
This rematch brought to you by Honda, RC Cola, and Divas Postcards from the Caribbean, because internet porn is hard in 2000.
So have Saturn a softcore VHS instead.
Or as we call it back in the day, Channel 5 on Friday night. Perry Saturn lands the press slam into another slam and then goes out to perv on Terry. Al tries to use the guardrail as a springboard, but Terry shoves him into the crowd. No fan catches him, and why would they? Saturn locks in a long hold to kill whatever heat they had to begin with, which is sad. But then, many pin attempts gets them back. Al Snow lands a moonsault, but Terry gets head. Ooh-er. Yes, that was the gimmick. However, Al gets head and bonks it off Saturn. One, two, hey, says the referee. What's that head doing in the ring? And Perry's like, no, I was born this way. He goes, no, this head. As Al argues the referee, Saturn lands a tiger suplex for the... a kick out. Bloody hell. Perry attempts to use the head but misses. Can't get the rings of Saturn as Al converts it into a dragon sleeper, of all things, to become the new European champion. And they gave it their all at the very end there with all the wacky match end stuff, teasing, which is very uncommon for a SmackDown during this period, and really effing uncommon for Al Snow, Perry Saturn, and the European title division around this time. So, bloody hell, I had no expectations because every time I see Perry Saturn, I'm reminded that the Perry Saturn in my head is not the Perry Saturn that was around this time. But yeah, this is easily the best thing. Well, it's his best thing Al's done on here. I mean, bloody hell, what the hell's that? What type of compliment is that? But probably the best thing Perry's done since joining WWF.
This was far better than it ever deserved to be. I thought these two just went for it. It was a really fun match. A really good work rate match. And God damn it! Like, I feel the same about Perry Saturn here than I do about Adam Bomb on the Cultaholic Classic Raw review. Like, if the stars had been slightly aligned differently, like, here's a guy you could have... He could have been a thing. He's so good. When he's on and he's in the room, he's so good. I don't think he needs accoutrement like a Terry or a Moppy. I think just as a badass wrestler who looks like he would rip your skull out, like... And then just the moveset that he has is so fun, so impactful. Like, jeez. He feels like... If you were to look on the outside, looking in, you'd think he's cool if you didn't know everything that you knew. You go, he's cool. I want to see him mix it up in the top. A Rock Perry Saturn match, just one, I think would have been great. Just
one. If he had one, because I remember Rock doing one eye that. Oh, no, that was earlier, wasn't it? Oh, I've heard that.
I want just one Rock Perry Saturn match.
You know what? As if the title change wasn't enough. From the Wrestling Observer, Terry wearing an orange dress on SmackDown was, in fact, a very subtle rib at Taz, since orange is supposed to be his colour. Taz spoke with Lisa Marie Veron, Victoria the Ho, thank you, Dave, about her wearing orange. It led to people ribbing him on it. Taz is seemingly the brunt of everyone's jokes these days. Aww. It appears, as we figured, they would never let him get over due to his size and his ECW role as a tough guy or a killer or a guy that throws everyone around. They want him to do a 180 and play the underdog role of a guy who sells like crazy but never gives up. Similar to that angle they did with him early in his tenure with Bossman Albert, where they wound pound him to death and he keep coming back for more pounding. Woof, what a lad. And reminds me of the, I forget where I read this, but no one said it isn't true. JBL apparently was walk around, must have been around this time, when it was, let's rib Taz, because he's an idiot, with a bandage on his toe. Hey, ooh, ooh. And someone said, what's up? He goes, oh, I tried to leapfrog Taz.
Oh, I feel for him. Oh, Suplex King. Like, he was sold such a bill of rights to come to the WWF. And he's just become a joke. Like, he's not that bad. But he's in the land of the giants. He's in the land of the giants. This is, you know, it's... What's the book? It's Gulliver's... This is like Gulliver's Travels. Starring Taz. And he's just turned up in the land of the giants. And he was fine in the Lilliputian world. But he's in the land of the giants now. And it's not a good look. You know?
It's... The character of Taz in ECW was the guy who suplexed everybody, never sold, and rarely lost. I think he went a year without a pinfall or... a pinfall loss. And when it did, it was against two men. And a lot of that is gone when you have him act like a normal dude. It's like, all right, cool, it's a shite wee Taz. So, yeah. You know what? I still love him. I don't care.
Oh, mate. He's doing some of his best work right now.
Well, as we'll get on to later on. Triple H apologises to Steph for that China interaction and she accepts and gets ready for acceptance kiss from her husband. But Triple H isn't ready to accept the apology because what's this about you and Kurt? Triple H rants and raves about Kurt, Kurt, Kurt and gets so mad he starts throwing stuff around until we cut to outside of the room, just Joe hearing the commotion and running away. We had seen that soap opera style what's going on here type thing, but I guess it works. And then to completely ruin the action as we wonder if what Triple H is doing to Stephanie, we get a quick look at Undertaker on his bike. Thanks. That was a perfect time for that. Oh, what's happening then? Is Triple H killing Stephanie? Is she all right? Oh, no time for that. Here's an interview with Al Snow. Good times. He's cold because he's made of snow and so will Stephanie, by the looks of things. He is going to bring respect to the citizens of Europa.
Europia.
Oh, sorry.
How do you not know how to pronounce where you come from?
All right, yeah, you think I know it, don't you?
We're all citizens of Europia.
Like, in a Europia.
So far.
Joey from Abs is...
Joey from Abs!
Joey from Abs. That's what they call him in West Europia.
Pete from Gas.
Yes.
So far, right, one match, one promo, Al Snow, A+. I'm not doing graded for much longer, so have that. A+ on Al Snow's European title run so far. I like this promo.
So
it was great. It was great.
If he keeps this up, he'll be... Oh, never mind. Okay, so could we go back to... What's Triple H doing to Steph? All right, now we go back to... Well, speaking of big lugs, here's Lugs, the boots with attitude, presenting Kane, kicking out of the rock bottom, and an Undertaker chokeslamming him.
Wearing his lugs.
Yes, that was supposed to be Kane's big push, but the Big Show stayed fat, damn it. Lugs, unlike Big Show, will not let you down, fat bastard.
slogan they had for a while.
Yeah, it's weird. That's probably why Lugs aren't around anymore.
Lugs, my wife left me.
Fuck, bastard. I think I was quite mad thinking about, God damn it, look how cool Kane is. He should have been feuding with The Rock right about now or doing something.
It should have been Kane and The Rock all the time. It should have been me.
It could have been Pope.
I could have been Pope, Ted. Father Kane. It could have been a... John and Colex B. Father Kane. New
yeah,
show.
We're together.
From the people who brought you, that's gotta be Kane. It's Father Kane.
I love Colonel XP because he's either tweets, you know, his own wonderful little series, or he tweets, I can't believe people are watching this.
It's all he tweets now. God love the man.
I mean, disbelief. You know,
what's wrong with you all? Even Alex wonders that. And do you know what? I showed Alex some of Colonel XP's fine work. And she watched it and she went, so did you ask him to do that? I went, no, he just does it. Like, he's brilliant. And Alex is like, I can't believe how popular that quote unquote bollocks you do with Matthew has become. I think because normally when me and you record, Alex, if she's not at work, she'll be in the other room. And all she hears, I'll just say, oh, I've just got to pop into the spare room just to do some work for a few hours. And she'll just hear, oh, Linda, what are you doing? And I'll come out going, oh, hey, I'm finished now. Oh, was work all right, was it? Yeah, that was definitely work. It was definitely work. Very proud to call it work. But anyway, shut up, Math, right? Shut up. Father Kane, the new series. Like, oh, here I am. I've got the one thing I always wanted. I've got my own parish. I'm now a father. I'm now a man of the cloth. Oh, and so in episode one, it's Kane and his brother, the Undertaker, Father Undertaker, Father Undertaker, and Father Taz, and they're all sat on Cracky Island, and Kane's like, "Oh, looks like it's." Now then, hang on, shut up. Father Taz comes in and goes, hey, Father Kane, I've got these two bottles for you. Now, one of them contains holy water from the Vatican City. The other, I need you to use to water the plants. Now, don't get the two mixed up. And then, I don't know, the plant has a halo on it. Da, 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 da. Father Kane will be right back, sponsored by Lugs, Fat Bastard.
A beautiful series of flips there from Tom. Shame about the landing.
Oh, Christ. Feck our street girls!
Oh, I really hate that Father Taz.
Oh no! Father Undertaker, I've been told I need to kick Bishop Linda up the arse.
I hear you're a racist now, Kane.
It's Ireland's biggest lingerie section.
Oh, hey, how funny was it the other week when Excalibur quoted Dark Place?
Wasn't that nice?
Wasn't
especially
that
it's just been a source of criticism for many people, including me, about AEW's unsubtleness. Wow, Cody taking that sledgehammer and destroying that throne. Whatever can this mean? Oh, a literal golden ring. Golden ring. I mean, it was a golden ring, but the brass ring above the ring. Ooh, you have to seize the brass ring. No, not metaphorically, literally.
I think it's your fault.
I did spam it enough times. I mean, bloody
yeah. Up. I think you spammed that Garth Marenghi image a lot, and I'm sure Excalibur saw it and just went, "I'm just going to use it."
Yeah, I DM'd him to say, "Well done, pal," and he went, "Oh, thanks. I might as well use this for good."
Yeah, and do you know what he did? And I'm proud.
It's like, speaking of not using symbolism, it's like every skit we've done. No, no, Father Kane.
I'm hoping that Kane, during his Hall of Fame acceptance speech, by now you've heard it, I hope he talks about our yes. skits.
Thank you for those YouTube videos, Colonel XP. I was saying, like, what? What's he on about?
There was...
Go on.
There was two doors. And... One said Hall, one said Scott Hall, and the other said Hall of Fame.
Oh.
But unfortunately, the Scott fell off, and the off fame fell off. And Kay was meant to go out onto the stage to accept his award, and instead he walked in on Scott Steiner eating a pack of Chew-Its in the shower. That's like walking, gotta be like, Kane, Chico.
Like walking 3 miles to the corner shop to get like one bar of chewing gum. Fantastic, Tom.
Hey, Chico, that's gotta be Kane.
Oh.
The joke is.
Oh no!
Should the network ever go to BT Sport and we have an issue where we can't watch SmackDown for a while, this podcast won't sound any different.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Undertaker is underbike out here again. Wow, great. Twice on one show. To take on Benoit. I'm sure Benoit's glad to have left WCW to get away from putting Sid and Nash over and coming all the way to SmackDown to make Undertaker look credible instead. Fantastic. It's actually a good thing. It's actually a good match, I should say, all things considered, until Kane shows up to beat down Undertaker. Then Benoit attacks Kane for showing up. They then realise, oh wait, let's team up and beat up Undertaker together. But The Rock's theme hits because only The Rock can beat down Undertaker. That match was supposed to figure out a number one contender, but now we don't have one. And that's all that's said on this episode of SmackDown. I guess it's supposed to lead into Raw. I hope there was like a dark show segment for Rock, because if that is his only appearance for a live crowd, then no one...
I would imagine, nothing in The Observer about this particular taping, but I would imagine, like, at the end of the night, he'd probably come out and have a match against Angle or something. Or a short little back and forth with Angle.
Yeah.
Or whether Kane comes out and they have Kane Rock later on.
It's like, wait, whose music's that? Oh my God, it's Father Kane's.
That's
music.
Gotta be Father Kane.
Yes, that was the line I should have said.
He's back from Funland.
Wait, what? He's putting the stick up to his mic. What's he? His mic. Putting the. Oh, shut up, Matthew. He's talking badly. What's he saying? Frick. Oh, awesome.
So why are you doing my 1998 stick, Matthew? It has been established for weeks. I can speak normally now.
Because it's funnier that way.
So he's got the body of a baby, but the mind of a spider.
That's right.
That is... Father, I killed a man. Never mind that. I'm going to be on the telly.
Speaking of attacking JR, hey, here's Taz.
Oh,
look at
no,
that segue.
Father Taz.
Yes. No, no, not far. He's just a vicar right now.
Hey, Lola.
He's only 5'4", so he's a stepfather. Redeem myself for that one.
End the show there. End the show there. We can't go any higher. We can't go any higher.
Yeah, do yourself a favour. Cut out all the bits between the lug segment and that, and just leave that
just
in.
This.
And we'll call it a day. Stepfather Taz says he should be number one contender after losing to Lawler at SummerSlam. I agree.
Stepfather Taz.
On Raw, Father Ross hit Father Taz with a trash can, and then Steve Blackman flew off the apron with a crazy ass dropkick. Bloody hell! By the way, this needs to be highlighted. All right, I'm on the apron. I need a proper landing pad if I'm going to do something like this. So preferably a big fat rest. Oh, it's Taz. Oh, what the hell?
He'll do.
Carpe diem, you git, and is able to retain the hardcore title. Taz says Mr. Microphone 1 and Mr. Microphone 2 have been costing me matches. We didn't check to see if there was a Mr. Microphone 1 and 2. It would be good if there was. Taz asks where JR is. Is he at home, and I quote, unfrosting his frozen face? Oof. Taz goes for Lawler, but Y2J's music kicks in instead. He asks him to shut the hell up because the mood has indeed changed to boredom. And since the commentators are beating up Taz, the cameramen, the lighting guys, the boom mic operators, the guy selling popcorn, loyal news monkey Aiden Gibbons, all want a piece of you. Jericho thinks he's a bully, and he's going to deal with him the same way he dealt with the bullies at his school, by stretching them and sending them home to his mother. All right, Jericho is on the Rock level of being funny, but also being way too close to the truth of the character, because it's funny if, Jericho gets his head kicked, you know, Taz says something to rebuke him. I think everything he said was exactly true.
Unfortunately.
You lost to the commentators, you're boring as hell, and I'm going to make fun of your Brooklyn accent. What are you going to do about it? Nothing.
Nothing. I like it.
Yeah, that's it. From that South Africa America place where Bobby Khan's from. Taz used to suplex Jericho about at ECW 1996. Ah, good times. Hopefully he remembers those memories as the crowd kind of dies like Taz's career, despite the nice Tazplexes he throws to Jericho.
There was one lovely bit in this match, though, for Taz. One little glimmer of hope. When Jericho was coming off the ropes with the bulldog, and Taz quickly turns it into a Tazplex, rolls out of the ring, and just twats Jerry Lawler.
I was about to
in
say,
like,
yeah,
one smooth motion.
Taz slaps Lawler and gets attacked by Lawler, which sets up Jericho low blowing Taz, or as we call it in the biz, a really low blow and a lion salt. Taz goes for Lawler again. Lawler says he hasn't had enough. He's still breathing, and the referees get involved. Fantastic use of Taz. He's already lost to commentators and Blackman, and Jim Ross hit him with a bin. Let's have him get punted by Lawler and lose to the Lion Salt Man.
Would it have... I feel really bad for Taz. I know we've said it already. I feel bad for Taz. Like, I don't think I think he's got something to offer. But unfortunately, in a company where everybody is so tall... It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Do you think he would have done any better in WCW?
No, because there was more chance of him doing stuff to Triple H than there was to, let's see, Kevin Nash versus Taz.
Sid.
That wouldn't have worked. Sid, Steiner, no. God, no. Like I said, ECW was perfect at getting a lot out of a little, and then they went into different companies and like, well, no, we expect a lot out of a lot. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
And what you say there is absolutely bang on, where some companies will expect a little out of a lot. WWE said, no, you need to be the whole package. That's just how it works. If you want to get over, we won't hide your lack of skill. We will, if anything, shine a light on it until you get it right. Look at Bobby Lashley on Monday Night Raw, who has never been the greatest talker. So for a while, they gave him a faction and a mouthpiece, and now they're making him talk again. Like, no, you need to be the full package. I don't know whether that's the right answer to do it that way, whereby you have to be good at everything. Why not just let people be good at something and protect them? Is it me?
That you're looking for? It's one of the things people look at ECW and go, that was fantastic. And it probably helped the myth of ECW, to be honest with you, with Taz going out here and looking like a bum. Let's see, who else? 9-1-1, when he went over and he insisted that he be a good wrestler and stuff, even though Paul Heyman said, no, you are good at doing one thing and then sodding off. No, I want a full match. I promise you this will be the end of your career. I want to do a full match. All right, you got it. Had a horrible match. Never used him again. He went to WCW, was a jobber for like Worldwide for a bit, and then left, and hasn't been seen since they've started doing ECW reunion shows. So I think it helped some people if they were thinking, do you want to go to WWF or WCW? They're like, no, I'll be horribly used. Mm. Like, and then they just look and point at some people. The Dudleys right now are a rare example of that. I'm trying to think. Chris Candido's a good one, who did not have the best of runs in WF, bless him. WCW, whatever. You know, so I think they, Mike Awesome, God. So yeah, they can look at ECW and go, yeah, you might not get, the checks may bounce, but you look great.
Yeah.
So, anyway, still love you, Taz. Thank you for your commentary every week.
Thank you, Taz. Thank you, yeah. Taz. Thank you, Taz.
Just Joe, who is definitely shooting above his weight here, doing these segments, tells Kurt he heard banging from...
I heard banging.
I heard banging from Steph's locker room, and Kurt says, "You bloody pervert, go away." And he says, "I think that means that Triple H hits Stephanie again." And Angle goes to curtail this. Oof. Oh, I'm sorry. someone snuck in when I wasn't looking and typed that up, and I had to read it. Kai and Tai are shown laughing at Bubba going through four tables during TLC. They turn around and the Dudleys are watching themselves go through four tables during TLC. No table, no table, they yell, like 1960s representations of Japanese people. So that nicely sets up a match now, with, the APA showing up and working for somebody. Kai and Tai get wrecked the entire match, but as soon as tables are summoned, Bradshaw clotheslines D-Von and Taka gets put on top, and Kai and Tai win. Oh, but Bubba is pissed, and they powerbombs Taka through Funaki the table anyway. Pretty throwaway match here, just to get some tables and the Dudleys on TV, fair enough. But I like the fact that they had a little intro to why this match was happening. Instead of just throwing out there and going, ooh, action. Mm. They actually had the little setup going, ha, ha, ha. Rather than going, remember what this happened at TLC? It was, you know, actually have Taka and Funaki go, hee-hee-hee. Look at this, very impressive bump on the show that is available on the replay system, I think. Maybe it is. Didn't say so, but I imagine it's still on replay a week later.
I learned something new about the APA. That in all the years I've watched wrestling, I never spotted this. And it was Michael Cole that pointed it out on commentary. I never spotted it. When they have their gloves on, they're doing APA business.
Oh.
Michael Cole pointed it out. They were walking down the ring with their gloves on. And that normally apparently means, oh, they're there because they've been paid to be there. But who's paid for them? I liked that. That was a nice little touch that I never spotted before.
That was nice. The other way you can tell that they're working is because they weren't involved in the match and they showed up anyway.
I mean, there is that as well.
That's gotta be Tom.
Hey!
Kurt checks on Steph, but she's cool and insists Triple H didn't touch her. Well, that settles that then, Tom. Imagine that'll be the last of these segments tonight.
I'm sure it'll all be done there.
Exactly. Speaking of done, Trish Stratus tries to motivate Val Venus, but he's like, I'm sick of your bleached hair, push-up bra, and cowboy hat. I don't need you. And then leaves Trish, and Trish is like, no, I made you, pal. So say it with me. Goodbye, push.
Literally, the tiniest thing interesting left about Val Venus just stripped away. Like, he's on this mission to get rid of any gimmick that he might have, to the point where he's just like the essence of a wrestler that's just okay at wrestling. The essence of like a creator wrestler.
Like, well, we tried. Anyway, Rikishi takes on Val Venus to further drag that Venus push into the recycle bin.
I put in my notes here, vague Venus.
It's theme music. They smash each other around like the good old days of July. But RTC run down to attempt to interfere with Too Cool blocking them, which is just a setup, allowing Steven Richards to smash Rikishi with a ring bell for Val Venus to win. RTC helping Val Venus. Val Venus wearing all white. Tom, where can it be going?
Oh, Val Venus becomes a porn star again.
You've inspired me, right to censor. I'm going to get my dick out for the lads again.
No, Val, that wasn't the idea. No, that's the complete wrong.
No, it's fine. I can see behind the intricacies of right to censor that you want me plowing sisters again.
No, Val, that's the complete opposite. This show is intended for children.
Sister Twat 3. I can see it.
No.
Why is this the second religious TV show we've referenced today?
Oh.
Val Venus is Sister Twat. Father Cain.
Father Jackoff, what are you doing here?
Hey, Val! Arse girls! Arse girls, you say?
Arse girls and feck. A few of my favorite things.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Can I have a job?
No.
cry. Some catch-up segments air, ending with Triple H saying it'll be okay if Steph and Kurt stay friends. But then, the Popo arrests Triple H for spousal abuse, with Stephanie insisting it wasn't her who called the Popo. Foley helps by making it Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero as the main event. With Steph in Kurt's corner, as Triple H is driven away in the police car. Foley, a complete dickhead here, and I loved it. Don't worry, Steph, I can help. Oh, can you? Can you use your authority on the WWF to stop the police? No, I can make this match a singles match. What?
Use your power for good. I'm just going to change the stipulations of this match and not bring any resolution to this case of mistaken identity.
Right. And that match is now. This is an infamous match that made it into Kurt's crappy book, because Kurt was still recovering from the concussion and got knocked loopy again, easy for me to say, with the match being awful as he tried to remember what was happening, but ended up being, as he quotes, not that bad after lots of editing. So as a match, it's not really worth talking about. I'll just go over what happened. But if you want to watch this match on SmackDown's section of Peacock, good luck finding it. You'll notice, like we did, the sheer amount of cutaway shots to China and other things. So this must have been edited like the Snyder Cut, to be honest with you. Eddie tries to chair shot Kurt, but he hides behind China. The commentators talk about Kurt's swollen brain. Fantastic. Eddie gets knocked off the apron onto Steph, and this already looks like a giant mess, even with the fine editing. Blah, 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 I've written here. Kurt nails Eddie with the European title to win. Crowd doesn't seem arsed. Looking around going, God, I hope that's not the main event. And then China DDTs Stephanie for a giant pop. That's all, folks. No dark match. Go home. What do you think, Tom?
Did you think the match was that bad?
I was looking at the production side of the how much editing there was because of what was happening. And again, maybe just if I was able to switch that off or if I hadn't read Kurt's crappy book and read about the fact that he singled out this match as an example of, yeah, I thought I was okay and I didn't want to say that I wasn't.
Right.
Because I'm a manly man who did the Olympics with a broken freaking neck, a few tabs and a few Lucozades, and I was all right. And then the match is like, what happened? It's like, all right, we'll fix it in editing.
Right, but, fair. That might, yeah, okay. I didn't think it was that bad, but it's interesting to hear that side of it. Just think, in 4 years' time, though, they'll get this formula right, and this will be a match at WrestleMania. In less than 4 years.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I thought, not next WrestleMania. I'm like, no, WrestleMania 20.
In 3.5 years' time, this will be a match at WrestleMania. And it'll be for the title.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, yep. Great. Good times. That'll happen. But I like seeing Guerrero in the main event. It's a nice fit. Guerrero is such a great character here. And away from how Pagged Angle clearly was, it's good to see him in the main event. That's my takeaway. So, yeah. So that's SmackDown this week. Somewhere amongst all there.
Anticlimactic ending there, and all the palaver of the intro, the middle, and every other bit. But it's not our fault. Yes, this is the part of the show where we go, what do you remember about this week's event?
So, from this week, I'll tell you what I remembered from this week. It was Kurt Angle at the top of the show just being a shit-stirring little gobshite and being so good at it. Like, to the point where he's just gaslighting left, right, and center, and I thought he was great. So Angle in the opening segment was something I remember, and seeing Eddie in the main event, but more so Angle in the opener. What about you?
I'll go with Al Snow beating Perry Saturn for the European title, because I remember him saying Europa, whatever. In the same way that Brucey P was asked, where's the Caribbean strap match come from, and he went, Caribbean. You know. Still probably the best thing he's ever done. I remember that, and also sets up a fantastic series of skits and bits that introduce us to Willie Regal in WWE. So I'm looking forward to that. What was something that you plumb forgot?
Now, funny you mentioned the whole Europa stuff. It was actually what I forgot was how good Saturn and Al Snow was as a match. Like, they really went for it on this night. For whatever reason. Tonight they just went, we're just going to dial it all the way up. And if you watch one match from this show, probably watch that one, Saturn and Al Snow, because they have a great match here. Really good. Better than it deserves to be.
I think maybe it almost looked like they're going, look, we've had some rough matches these past few weeks. Let's actually try this week, okay? Because I think we need this match to prove that we have got what it takes, because we're going nowhere. We're second place to arses. So they're trying to get that sorted out. And,
brilliant
good on
stuff.
Them. They
yeah,
it. So,
good on
also
them.
Also, can go back to sucking the life out of things now.
We are back next Saturday. Hopefully, you won't be too wrestlinged out. Just whilst I've got your ear, enjoy night one of WrestleMania tonight. So that's happening just before this go, you know, just before you hear our dulcet tones. WrestleMania a bit later on, just after rather, not just before. Obviously, throughout the week, we have been throwing a lot of content at you on the YouTube channel, on the podcast feed and everywhere. We'd like to thank you for your consistent, bloody wonderful support of Cultaholic. We simply could not do what we do without you. And if you haven't made time already, if you need to kill some time before WrestleMania starts, how about 5 hours and 18 minutes ranking every WrestleMania match from worst to best. A video that when Andrew tweeted about it, Matthew Gregg's response was simply, you guys are weird.
I mean, Where's the lie?
There is no lie, Dinner Stutter. There is no lie. It's a hellacious video. Our editing team are phenomenal. They have put together one of the most beautifully produced videos I think we've ever done in Cultaholic history. And that includes Don't You Forget About Keith. It's a stunning piece of work. It is a tour de force. It is a journey, and you could take that journey right now. Also on the YouTube channel, obviously news videos. The last remnants of Graded. Graded is coming to an end. For me personally, my last Graded will be NXT on Tuesday night. So that'll be the final Graded that I do until presumably Backlash. I think we'll do it for pay-per-views. We'll see.
The backlash of it not being around, you mean?
Oh, that's exactly it. But yeah, so those are some things. If you missed it over this past week, brand new Desert Island Graps revisited, where Effie and myself watched the Hollywood Backlot Brawl from WrestleMania 12. That's a good time out by all. Good fun with Effie. Matt, what are you working on this week, sir? What do we need to plug for you?
They're probably Effie ignoring me. No, this week it'll just be some streams. Obviously the one that I do for Cultaholic every Saturday.
Tonight.
Oh, Christ, tonight. Yes.
Tonight. What game are you playing tonight?
Silent Hill tonight.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in it. What a bloody weird game. But the chats have been amazing. I've been loving it. Complete crap. And I got them saying, oh, this is completely crap. And people going, what do you mean? I mean, oh, no, in a good way. It's good crap. They're like, okay, thank you for the backhanded compliment. Same to you, I guess. I'm like, no, it's good when I say it's crap.
It's good crap.
They're like, okay.
Be proud of your crap.
It's been fun times. And then, yeah, the Botchamania will have to come out, oh, I guess the following weekend, because normally it'd be time for one of a fantastic Botchamania. But, hey. What's happening this weekend? Why, a little event called WrestleMania, so it makes too much sense to wait another week and wait for all the fantastic things, which probably won't be happening at WrestleMania because it'll be all edited and pre-taped and all that.
We'll see. Anyway. What,
is it live? Oh, who cares about that?
WrestleMania is live. Very live. In front of a live crowd.
Oh, God, there is a live crowd there, isn't it?
Yeah, actual people.
You know
people
what? It's going to take a while to get used to that. So, yeah.
This is the only one for a while in front of a live crowd, so enjoy it, because then we're back in the Thunderdome on Monday.
Yes. So
enjoy the people. Enjoy the silence. And until next time, he is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I am Dandy Highwayman Tom Campbell. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us.
God, you're right.
Father Tuss! I've accidentally drank the communal wine! Love you! Love you, bye. Happy WrestleMania.
Yeah. What kind of ships do pirates find hard to maintain? Relationships.
Alright, Val.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.